Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday at 9 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. D-Mac, what's going on? How we doing?
Good morning. Morning show. How we doing? Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. Hope it's a
you
good
too.
One so far.
Big plans? Big Valentine's Day plans?
Yeah. Joe, I'm going to take the wife to the Bridgestone Arena and see a little Dua Lipa.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Nice stuff. Okay. I like it.
You know?
Young and hip couple
say,
that you are.
Rex Road's cool.
That's what we are, Joe.
Are cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, Robbie at 29 years old is sitting at the house tonight. That's what we're doing.
Well,
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dua Lipa. So I've been trying to catch up on my Dua Lipa songs so I can learn them.
Big catalog for Darren and Dua Lipa.
Well, I'll tell you what got me in trouble is when we had the big flood, unfortunately, here in this market, and Garth Brooks was nice enough to come do these concerts at Bridgestone Arena, and one concert turned into three, which turned into five, which turned into raise money for our city for the devastation. I was like, yeah, sure, let's support and let's go to this Garth Brooks concert. And I went with the wife, and she knew like every song, and so did every person in the arena. Sold out to singing to every word to every song, and I literally knew nothing. I felt like the biggest idiot going. I like Garth Brooks. I don't have anything against him. I don't really listen to country music, so. I knew nothing. I knew the one song, right? The one song that they play in every bar in America.
Yeah, Friends in Low Places.
Yeah, at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I knew that song. And then after that, I just felt like a dope the entire night. So I remember that feeling, and I don't want to feel like a dope tonight at Dua Lipa. So I've been checking out her stuff.
That's right.
I will pay anyone out there, if you are listening and going to the Dua Lipa concert, I will pay you $75 for a video of Darren McFarland singing along. So that's a standing offer right now.
I don't think there's any question.
I will
about
pay
it.
You $100 if you're listening not to give it to Joe.
That's great stuff. Darren, what'd you think of the Super Bowl last night? Matthew Stafford and company get it done, 23-20 against the Bengals. Some moments in that game where it looked like Cincinnati had some chances to pull away, but in the end, Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp, two big difference makers for the Rams.
Yeah, it's going to be the easiest prediction ever. Free agency. I mean, can you imagine in Cincinnati what they're going to be talking about until free agency and until the draft? I mean, do you know how sick their front office is going to hear of, you need to bring in offensive linemen
yep.
to protect our franchise quarterback. These guys suck. And, yeah, so they're going – I mean, that's going to be the easiest prediction ever, right? Like, the Bengals are going to have to fix their offensive line. It's awful. Joe Burrow was sacked more than any quarterback ever in the postseason. It's never – he sacked 19 times. He tied the record for the Super Bowl with Roger Staubach, being sacked 7 times. I mean, he was sacked 70 times. You know, it's interesting. This is – just to put a reference point for people – Joe, you remember
I know where you're going.
Okay? When we always say the quarterback that got killed the most in a season, who's the one guy we always reference? He happens to be the leader, right? It's David Carr.
David Carr, baby.
In Houston. We always have Houston got him killed. It ended his career. They scarred him for life. Well, folks, this just in, Joe Burrow wasn't far behind. Okay? So if you're always going to – we've been using that David Carr reference for a long time. Just to put it in perspective, Joe Burrow, I think, was, what, 4 or 5 sacks away from, you know, tying or beating that David Carr record. So – that just tells you how bad they were this year.
Yeah, what was that number? So
76, and what did Burrow get sacked?
Burrow, I guess 70, 70 even, right?
70, 71? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is. Well, let's get you in on the Matthew Stafford hot argument about Matthew Stafford. First of all, do you think differently of him now than you did like a year ago? And second of all, do you think what he just did this season and this postseason – puts him in position to be wearing a gold jacket someday?
Okay, let's start with, do I think differently of him? Yeah, a little bit, because there's a lot of pressure. right? Because it was easy to blame Matthew Stafford's career, sorry, Joe, on where he came from. I mean, the Lions are just a disaster of a franchise, always have been. You know, chalk it up to bad franchise. And so it's like, okay, so if you're saying that, then that means he's going to be really good, right? And he's going to do a whole lot of winning, and he's going to get the Rams to the Super Bowl, and heck, he's going to win the Super Bowl, right? Because it was all the Lions' fault. Well, that's a lot of pressure, and I believed a lot of that was true. I didn't know how much of it was going to be true. I mean, he did have a pretty darn good regular season, but having good regular seasons was not Matthew Stafford's problem. He had good regular seasons stats-wise, didn't get enough wins in Detroit, but it all came together in L.A. So then there's this pressure of, yeah, and oh, by the way, now you need to get him to the Super Bowl and end up probably win it, you know, just to calm things down. And he did it. I mean, he did. And he played a pretty good game. He wasn't great last night, but he played a pretty good game, and he did enough to win. I mean, threw for almost 300 yards and three touchdowns and, of course, the game-winning drive. And so, yeah, I look at him differently. Now, as for is he well on his way to Canton, I suspect he's absolutely well on his way to Canton. Why wouldn't he be? He was the fastest player to get to 20,000 yards passing in a career. He was the fastest player to do it to get to 30,000 career yards passing. He was the fastest player in NFL history to get to 40,000 career yards passing. I mean, he's going to be in the top 10 here in a year or two. I mean, in a year. I don't know. I need to go back and look at the numbers. I mean, he's going to retire in the, what, top five in passing yards all time? Are you telling me that's not going to be good enough for the Hall of Fame? Give me a break. Of course he's going to the Hall of Fame, as long as he keeps playing productive. He's 34 years old. So, yeah, I think he's absolutely going to be in Canton.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Are people vehemently against him being in Canton? I'm not sure where this came from. Are people saying, no, there's no way?
Yes, there are.
Well,
really?
Oh, I got in a little Twitter battle with our favorite afternoon host here at 102.5 The Game. But also Corey Curtis,
yeah,
is kind of down on the idea too. Although I think it's one of those things where a lot of people would argue, and Robbie would argue, and they may be right too, like right now if he ended it. I think it'd be an interesting discussion. I could definitely see him coming up just short. But I agree with you. Like if he gets to that where he's, you know, that far ahead of most people statistically along with this ring and this run, I agree. I think he's in. But
look, if Matthew Stafford came here to be the quarterback, Jared would go pick him up at the airport and offer his family to stay at his house until their house was built.
Maybe
next Aaron Rodgers.
So let's not act like Matthew Stafford is a good. Jared would let him stay in his house.
Jared would
until the house
lend
was
him
built.
His ladder.
Yeah. Here you go, friend.
Yeah, he's absolutely going to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, when it's all said and done, he's going to be like top five in passing, and he's going to have at least one Super Bowl ring as we know of. So, yeah, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's a pretty damn good quarterback. This just in.
Darren, the Predators, I don't know if you picked up on this theme after the game on Saturday night. They're pretty unhappy with their penalties.
What?
Why? That have been taken the last couple of games. I guess, in all seriousness, my question for you is, this is really the only thing that you can nitpick about with the Predators so far this year. How fixable is this penalty issue that really at this point has plagued them all season long?
Well, I was going to say, that's what's fun about this, right, Robbie, this discussion. Like, this is nothing new. This has been going on all year. Do you know why we're talking about it today? Because they've lost two games in a row and they've given up five power play goals. That's why we're talking about
it. Been directly responsible for them.
Right.
Yeah.
They've lost two games. They got no points because they gave up five power play goals. That's why. If they kill off eight penalties on Saturday and they kill off six penalties in Dallas on Wednesday, nobody's talking about it, right? Nobody's bringing that up because it's been happening all year. Matthias Ekholm, I know, addressed it. John Hines is going to get so tired of this question. He already is. And we know they're talking about it. But I ask you guys, well, once again, what's going to change? Because they're now talking about it? No, they've been talking about it. They know this. They've been actively talking about this. They know they've been the most penalized team in the league basically all year. What's going to change? I mean, I guess if the coach says, okay, now seriously. No, I wasn't kidding before, but seriously, like we got to stop because now it's costing us games. Like, maybe that resonates. I don't know, but it hasn't affected this team until the last two games, and so it's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, all we've done is heap praise toward this team all season long about how they've overachieved and look where they are in the standings, and now they've dropped two in a row, and it's because they've taken too many penalties and everybody's freaking out. And it's like, well, okay, I mean, I get it. It's the reason they lost, but, you know, okay, but why is it going to change now? They've been talking about it all year. John Hines hates this question. He's been getting all year, and he doesn't run from it. I mean, I'll give him credit. He doesn't run from it. He certainly doesn't pull a Peter Laviolette, who will be in town tomorrow, and just shut down questions or just don't answer them. So, yeah, it's a big problem because they're taking too many, but it's only a big problem now because they've given up five power play goals in two games.
So big warm hug for Lavi coming tomorrow then. Is that what
I'm by the way, Joe, Robbie, you know what? Washington, they're 28th in the league on the power play, so maybe it was the coaching staff.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe, because, you know, when
That's
we talked
wild.
About the power play.
That should not
play,
happen, should it?
Remember when
no.
we talked about
no.
the power play all the time? By the way, they have Ovechkin.
I was about to say, I wouldn't give number eight too many chances from there, but yeah.
Yeah, he scored about 400 career goals in the left circle there, just sitting there camping out, roasting marshmallows on the power play, and yet they're 28th in the league. So maybe, just maybe, that narrative that we talked about for years that has gone away with John Hines and this coaching staff, maybe it was Peter Laviolette and his coaching staff, because the power play stinking has followed him to Washington, and he's got Ovechkin.
How do you do that with Ovechkin? How's your power play? Like, you would think by himself. The power plays
right.
in
he'd
the top
like
15
yeah,
just for him.
Yeah, be middle of the pack, yeah. please, just
yeah,
to have
one
him on
guy,
it.
Right, would have you in the upper half. Yeah, one guy. Yeah, they're 28th in the league, yeah. So just saying.
Pretty incredible. Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Darren, great stuff as always. Looking forward to the show coming up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Joe, 3XL, that's what I take for the Matthew Stafford to the Hall shirt.
Yes.
I'll take a
3XL. We've got one ordered.
All right. Okay.
Orlovsky's wearing one on TV right now.
I told Robbie if he would have made those shirts, you know, with his face on it, 3XL, I would have one on me. But, you know, they didn't do big boy shirts.
Well,
they only did 2X.
I got my Skia Tika shirt on today.
Take it up number 92.
It's a little tight. It's a little tight at XL.
That's right. Appreciate you, Darren.
All right, guys. Enjoyed it.
Darren McFarland joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Darren had to say there. We'll get into the Nashville Predators. How fixable is this penalty problem that they've run across this season? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Darren McFarland for joining us in the last segment. Nashville Predators, Joe Rex Road. The most penalized team in the NHL, 4.85 penalties per game. This is coming from StatMuse.com. The next closest, Arizona, at 4.52 penalties per game.
And you expect, you know, a bad team like Arizona to probably have some penalty issues because they struggle to
just chasing people
do
around
things
all
and yeah, not have to commit penalties to keep up with people or whatever. But that's a healthy number. 4.85 per game.
Well, and as Darren
and a healthy
points
lead.
Out, yeah, it's a healthy lead, a healthy number, and as Darren points out, this is not really new. Like, this has been an issue with them all season long. Now, up until recently, their penalty kill has also been pretty darn good. So you've just not really thought about it all that much because they've done a good job of killing it off. The last two games have been pretty extreme. I mean, you take that amount of penalties, your penalty kill is going to suffer for it at some point. Like, you can't have. And Ekholm was talking about this the other night. You can't have six or seven minor penalties per game and think that all of a sudden you're just going to go out there and win. You're not. Like, it's so disruptive to your flow, and it's so tiresome to your penalty killers. It's just, you know, shifts in hockey are not all created equal. Penalty killing's you're out there for about 45 seconds at a time. That's a rough 45 seconds on your body out there. And if you do that repeatedly, you're going to be in a bad spot by the end of the game.
And you still have, you know, your regular shifts, too.
Yeah.
It's like you're picking up, like you're moonlighting.
Yeah.
You're picking up another job.
Well, and you're taking shifts away from your Duchesnes and, you know, Tomasinos and Tolvanens of the world.
Yeah.
Forsberg.
Yeah, and I do. I wonder if especially I just think when things – look, things get talked about, they should be talked about. I mean, I'm sure John Hines is sick of hearing about it, but I'm sure he's also probably still more sick of the penalties themselves. But you're going to hear about this stuff, and it becomes a bigger talking point. And I do feel like that can have a negative effect too, like even on the penalty kill. You know, when it's like the whole team just sort of – you know, you get a penalty now. Next time the Preds get a penalty, it's like, oh, here we go again. Even in the building, you know, tomorrow night against Washington, here we go again feeling. This was actually – and that was very much the, you know, the power play thing for years under Laviolette when, of course, we all made the decline the penalty jokes. But before that, Laviolette had a team here that also had – that was really the only thing you could nitpick on the President's Trophy team,
yeah,
was that they were in the box too much. So I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to be up there because of how they play. But like we said last week, you want to be up there for those aggressive penalties. You want to cut down on the stick penalties. And then you also you don't want to be so aggressive that you're taking majors and really putting yourself in a bind, which is what happened the other night.
Yeah, that's what happened. And look, 5-on-5 right now, they're playing well. I mean, I thought they were going to run Winnipeg out of the building the other night. They got, you know, they had the puck in the offensive zone. They drew a penalty where, you know, Duchesne scores to put them up 2-0. The first goal by Forsberg, I mean, he dangles through the neutral zone and loses the puck, and it basically tees up Granlund for a perfect shot, and he just destroyed it. And they're up 2-0 before you can even blink. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, well, Winnipeg played last night in Dallas. The Predators are all over them. I mean, they've got a chance to just run away with this thing. And a 4-on-4 goal by Scheifele. You get a couple more power play goals in the game as well. You know, Blake Wheeler had 5 points the other night. It's just the penalties are the difference in the game. Even with, you know, they let Winnipeg kind of hang around and get back in there in the second period with the penalties that they took. But even heading into the third, it's 2-2. You're playing, I mean, that's a physical game the other night. That was a playoff style crushing each other game that they played the other night. And all of a sudden, Borowiecki, you know, puts an elbow to the side of the head, and it's a major penalty, and they score 2 power play goals there. The game's over. I mean, it's literally been the difference in the game the last two games of two games that, quite frankly, I didn't think the Predators had much business losing, and they did.
Well, it's like the other night is almost like, you know, you're dominating the line of scrimmage. You're doing whatever you want to do, both sides of the ball, but you give up, like, 2 kickoff returns for touchdowns or something. Yep. You know, like just stuff that can't happen. That's the first game, of course, that they've lost all year after leading after the first period, 17-0, which is that was a thing that was bound to end because that's a wild stat. But yeah, I mean, if you had told me when it was 2-0 they would lose that game 5-2, I mean, how?
Yeah,
I mean, Soros just have a terrible night. Like, how does that happen? But this is how it happens.
Well, and honestly, the last couple of games, I don't think Roman Josi's been very good. I didn't think he was good against Dallas with some of the puck management, and he had a couple turnovers the other night against Winnipeg. Right, just like, ooh, what are you doing? Now it's Josi; he'll figure it out. He'll be better. But I mean, they need him to be the Roman Josi that we're used to seeing on a nightly basis, and I just think the last couple of games, especially offensively, he's made some uncharacteristic mistakes that have cost them going the other way. Some have turned into penalties going the other way, too, and you can't have that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. If it's him who's the issue, then you know it's just a little blip.
Yeah.
And it will be. But there's also a lot of pressure on him. I mean, they need him to be great every night.
At @peeps_champ on YouTube says, 9 penalties, 35 minutes of penalty time. Rough last game. I don't think there's any question about it. Which, by the way, now there's, you know, an injury concern to look at as you move forward here, too. Nick Cousins, he got hit. Basically, Luke Cunningham got knocked into him, and it looked bad. Like, I thought he was going to be – had to, you know, basically be carted off the ice. He got hit right in the knee, and it bent in a way it's not supposed to bend. He came back in the game and then didn't play in the third period after he came back. So, the Nick Cousins part of this, something to take a look at. Tanner Jeannot left the game with an injury the other night. He came back. I got some repair work done to his face where he got a stick to the cheek. So he'll be fine, but that's the one thing. They've, you know, relatively speaking, they've been pretty fortunate injury-wise this year. At some point, that may change. You want to try to hold off on that if you're the Predators.
Yeah. Seems like the way they play, I mean, it's almost like the Derrick Henry thing. I keep comparing, making football comparisons.
You do.
I got to do more basketball comparisons. But, you know, Derrick Henry, he's the one who lays in the punishment out to the opponent. So he's, you know, he's better off for the opponent. Seems like the Preds, you know, they're the ones laying the body in the corners, you know. But but still, if you play that kind of physical style, you expect some injuries.
Yeah, and
I mean, if you play this game at this level, you have to expect some
injuries. Well, and not only that, I mean, you're getting into a part of the schedule here in a couple of weeks where, I mean, go look. If you've got your Predators app or the NHL app, like, just go look at the schedule and, like, the illustration view from March and April. I mean, it feels like they're playing every day. They've just got so many games coming up where, I mean, it's going to be an absolute sprint to the finish here. And, you know, that's how wear and tear accumulates pretty quickly with this condensed schedule.
Yeah, so while you're in this schedule, you want to be as ready as possible to deal with that, because it's going to change dramatically from this month to next month.
Got a big week coming up. Really, the rest of the month of February, it's good in the fact that the games are spread out and you're going to have some practice time. But listen to this next five-game stretch. Home against Washington, on the road against Carolina, on the road against Florida, home Dallas, home Tampa in the Stadium Series game. That's a heck of a stretch right now for this Predators team.
I'd advise getting 4 points between the home games against Washington and Dallas.
Yes.
And then, you know, then state, you know, the game here should be great. But that, I mean, Carolina and Florida, you're glad to not be in a division with them this year, yeah, the way they're playing. And, you know, and last year that was tough. They are high level teams right now.
Florida is 32-10-5. Best team in the East right now. Carolina 32-11-3. I mean, they've been at times, you know, borderline unbeatable this year.
It's good to get away.
Oh, and then there's Tampa, two-time defending Stanley Cup champ.
Sure, why not? And, yeah, look at March. I mean, it is every other day or back-to-backs on top of back-to-backs. Wow, that's going to be wild.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, I've got something I want to get Joe Rexroad's thoughts on, and maybe the Rams have started a new trend in the NFL. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit LittleGuysFranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, on Wednesday night, United States and Canada, women's hockey U.S. or the gold medal game coming up. 10:10 local start time. I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to try, but I don't know if I can do it. Be dragging the next day on the show. But I want to watch U.S.-Canada so bad. It's going to be a great gold medal game in the women's hockey bracket.
I mean, I'm already freaking out about Tennessee-Kentucky at 8 tomorrow, and then Vandy-Auburn at 8 Wednesday.
Yeah, can we get normal start times around here?
Like a 10 start.
What's wrong with 6:30 or 7?
Like, I can't.
Stupid TV.
Seriously, I can't miss that game.
Wednesday will be a crucial day for me, whether I'm in a good mood or a bad mood.
That's true.
Yes, that's right. You could be. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Is there something at stake here, by the way? We've got a day before the game.
We could
another sweatshirt.
We could do sweatshirt.
Yeah, let's do it. I can't wait to see
I don't
Rob.
I have a Kentucky sweatshirt.
Rob, Kentucky blue.
I can
you
promise
look
you,
great
Michelle
in.
Does not have a sweatshirt that will fit me.
No, listen, but I wear the XXL, so they're like dresses. Okay. Don't you worry, Rob. I'll get you geared out. Kentucky blue will just look great with the red.
Some BBN hair. Jammies.
I can do that.
Right?
Yeah. I'll even get you some face stickers, too.
I don't know if I'm doing face sticker.
All right, good. We got a bet. Nice.
I look forward to bringing the Tennessee hoodie back in here. Look good on Michelle that one time. I
mean, orange
she got lots of love on
color.
Social media that time.
Orange is not my color, guys.
That's it's going to be an interesting game. I think Tennessee might get them. Tennessee plays well. Tennessee's playing well. Tennessee
by the way, I almost sent y'all a text message the other day because I was at the Preds game and I was, you know, kind of keeping an eye on Vandy, Tennessee. And I looked up and Tennessee was up by like 15.
And you're like, told you.
And I was going to text with like, you two picking Vandy in this thing. Yeah. What a joke. And then it turned about, got pretty hairy down the stretch.
I mean, Scottie Pippen Jr., it's really strange to see a player fall off the way he is at the free throw line. He was like 90% guy last year, his first 2 years. A free throw to cut it to one, he misses and commits a reach. So it goes from down one to down four because Josiah James hit both the other end. And that was pretty much it. But, good fight from Vandy. Zakai Ziegler.
He's pretty good.
Boy, is he good. He is. He's going to be a problem for people. 4 years.
Yeah. Him and Stetson Bennett just hanging around college athletics forever. Nice. Zakai Zeager are going to lead Tennessee to a natty in 2024. You heard it here first.
Does Zakai, he's the Stetson Bennett of point guards? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Undersized for sure, both of them.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. George texting in says, it's been a while since we've heard Igor Afanasyev's name. With the way things are going in Nashville and Milwaukee, are there any prospects that you think we're likely or should see get a chance in the lineup coming down the stretch? Milwaukee has played much better as of late. They were in a kind of a rut there for a while. First off, Connor Ingram has just taken off as of late. So that's been the main thing. But they are starting to play much better. Rocco Grimaldi, big goal the other night as well. Afanasyev has been up and down in terms of his play this year. I thought he looked really good in camp. There's a lot there with the size that he brings to the table that's tempting. I think at some point he's going to be a good player. I mean, his numbers have been fine. He's 7 goals, 13 assists, 20 points in 46 games. I still think he probably needs a little bit more time before he's ready.
Yeah. There's some promising stuff going on at the lower levels for this organization right now, for sure.
Well, they've restocked the pipeline pretty well. I mean, we were talking about a couple years ago, and you know, when the Athletic came out with their prospect rankings, they're near the bottom. Right now, they're middle back towards the top 10 now. So it's good. By the way, Cody Glass, 33 points, 39 games for the Ads. I saw a Cody Glass Stadium Series jersey in the arena the other day. I was like, shout out to you. That's good stuff.
Yeah, good for him. I think if the Preds lineup looks any different, other than forced to look different by injuries, then it's probably because of a pickup on the trade market of a role player.
I would say that's probably the case. So I've got something that I asked Corey Curtis. I want to get your thoughts on. As we know, the NFL is a copycat league. Tom Brady and the Bucks, they win it all 2 years ago. They go all in for it. The Rams, in a different way with the trade for Stafford, go all in this year. We've talked about the lack of first-round picks and kicking things down the road. It's worked out in 2 Super Bowls in the last 2 years for those 2 teams. Do we think that teams, as the NFL continues to change and younger guys come in and the league's different on a year-by-year basis, do we think that teams maybe start to kick the can down the road even more than they already are, and that draft picks become, I'm not going to say unimportant, because I don't think that's the way that teams view it, but maybe they're more willing to part with your first-round picks or second-round picks now than they were in years past, based on the way it's worked out for, more specifically, the Rams, but even Tampa Bay going forward all with Brady?
I don't think so. I mean, look, the Cincinnati Bengals just made 2 top-of-the-draft fantastic picks that have them set up to make more runs for the Super Bowl. Now, you got to be at the top of the draft to make those picks, but they're going to very much benefit from what they've done in the draft, and they're going to be able to make runs and build teams with, you know, probably a top 5 quarterback and maybe the number 1 receiver, or certainly like a top 2 or 3 receiver, both on very cheap deals. So I still think that's the model. Again, can you get out of the middle and get to the, you know, can you be bad enough to be up to the top? I'm sure that, I guess what this says, though, is that, you know, when you get to a certain point, it's absolutely worth it. But I think we've seen a fair amount of teams do similar things. I just think the Stafford situation in particular is unique. And so I understand why people were talking about that in relation to the Titans after the way their season ended. But you aren't going to find too many situations like that, because usually if a quarterback is as good as him, and I think most people can agree he is that good, they're not on bad teams that are ready to just ready to take picks. But that's how bad the Lions are. And so kudos to the Rams for capitalizing, but you're not going to find that very often.
I will say, if I'm a Colts fan today, not knowing exactly how it went down, you ended up with Carson Wentz. I mean, we talked about it last year on the show. Like, what if Stafford goes to the Colts? Can you imagine if it was like, we just weren't willing to pay the price that the Rams were, but so this is what happens. Like, we ended up with Wentz. They ended up with Stafford. Like, what would a Matthew Stafford on the Colts have meant for that team this year? I don't know. Like, would they have won the division? Maybe. Would they beat the Titans? Maybe. I don't know. But I feel a lot better about Stafford than Wentz, and that's before this year. I felt much better about Stafford than Wentz.
Right.
And I wasn't quite sweaty Jared workout video about Wentz, but Stafford was clearly better.
Yes. Was that a pull down bar you doing there? What do you
pull up.
Yeah.
Go right.
Pull up.
Was
this kind of pull up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you can do either way.
Yeah. So sorry about that microphone. I think the Colts could have won it all. I mean, the receiving situation there, totally different.
Yep.
And they had other issues, but I think he's that good. I know that you can look at Matthew Stafford right now and still say, okay, but Sean McVay and Kupp and of course, it's a very good team. There's a lot around him, but you can see what he did to elevate them. And you read the stats of Cooper Kupp earlier. Cooper Kupp with Jared Goff as his quarterback, or Cooper Kupp with Matthew Stafford as a quarterback? So far in 1 year, pretty big difference. I think you have to give some credit to the quarterback.
Ron on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I believe the NFL is slowly becoming like the NBA when it comes to contracts and super teams. Players have more freedom to move and go where they want. This coming from Ron on the text line.
It's not like that, though.
It's impossible to be quite like that in the NFL. I mean, just because the salary cap on an NBA team, you're talking about 12 guys, and you're talking about two or three of which really have power on a team.
And those two or three can make you a champion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, get some role players in there. By the way, I think the Brooklyn Nets could be real interesting with Ben Simmons. We'll see. But
just got smoked by the Heat the other night.
Give them some time. Figure it out. The Heat are pretty good, too. But I think with that, like Le'Veon Bell, a lot of people said that when he did his thing. He's like, I'm done. I'll get out of this, and then I'm going to bet on myself. Didn't work out for him. It's just in this league, it's just harder to, for a lot of reasons, the contracts, the cap, the way it's set up, but just also the career longevity and But I agree that it's more like that for sure. There is more player power than there was a few years ago.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025 The Game. I got to say, we're getting some love on the text line for some Dance Hall Days we came back with a few segments ago. Some great stuff. I love that song.
Michelle, do you know this song? Or did you just randomly pick it?
This is Queen.
Well, yes, this is a great song also. Queen and David Bowie.
Yeah.
Which song?
Earlier you played Dance Hall Days by a wonderful 80s band named Wang Chung.
Yeah.
Which also, they also have another band, another song, Everybody Wang Chung.
Yes, they do.
At some point we will graduate to Everybody Wang Chung tonight. But Dance Hall Days is probably their best song.
I love some Dance Hall Days. It's good stuff.
It's a jam. Chris in Nashville on Texan, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's... For those of you who didn't hear the beginning of the show, I woke up at 2:30 and couldn't go back to bed.
Pre-show meeting for Joe Rexroad had him fired up.
Yes.
I was so confused when I walked in. Came and Joe's just sitting. He's like, hi. I'm like, what are you doing here?
And I was like, I guess I'll just go to the station. Why not? It was very light traffic.
It was.
So Chris in Nashville says, Joe probably thinks Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are not Hall of Famers. And I said, why? He said, because Stafford isn't, and you think he is. Doesn't really follow.
Well, but I just want to let's get technical here. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are not Hall of Famers,
right? But I think I'm saying that they shouldn't be. By the way, I think that they should be. So I don't know if that changes your opinion of my Stafford opinion, but I don't think they're related either. So anyway, thanks, Chris and Ashton. I got to look at your history to see if you have some wacky texts. No, actually, I liked the earlier text that Shane Foster was Vandy's Glenn Rice. That's good.
That's good.
Good job, Chris. That's good and stuff. Nashville.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the Stafford thing, I think eventually it's going to take care of itself, because I do think eventually he's going to end up pretty high in terms of yardage, touchdowns, all that stuff. And now that he's got the Super Bowl, he's going to get in the Hall of Fame at some point, barring that he stays healthy and all that.
Yeah, if he has to keep stacking really good seasons and winning, and it would help to even if he did, if he gets another ring, forget about it. There's no reason to even talk about it anymore. But even just couple more playoff wins, some good teams, good playoff runs, still good performances.
He's only been to one Pro Bowl, though. Your reaction?
Oh, I know, and that's all. I mean, that's really all that matters, right? The Pro Bowl.
It is kind of amazing. Total. Like when you think about it, it is kind of amazing. He's only been to one.
It is. No, I mean, I didn't know that. But it's like, okay, that is interesting and a bit weird. You know, like Scott Mitchell also went to probably some Pro Bowls, but no one's putting him in any. I mean, who were the Pro Bowl quarterbacks this year? Who was there? Who was at the Pro Bowl? We had some Cousins.
Well, it's hard to keep up because everybody like that gets named doesn't go. Like Rodgers didn't go.
Yeah.
So that may be it.
So you get – well, yeah, I guess Mahomes went and stuff like that. I mean, some of them are obvious, but then every year there's always like a guy or two that's weird anyway.
So. I did see some nice footage over the weekend of – I think it was the 2004 Pro Bowl. The starting quarterbacks for the AFC, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees from the Chargers.
It's not bad.
That's a pretty good roster, no four.
Yeah.
Brady, Manning, Brees.
Yeah. That's not bad. Well, on the Stafford thing, too, you know, someone brought up the point to me today, well, you know, he's not going to get in over, like, those guys. And, again, there's not a limit. There's not a, oh, only five QBs from this year to this year can get in.
Well, and he may not be first ballot either.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think eventually he's going to get in. Like, I can listen to the argument of he's never been top five at his position because I don't think he has been. I think you could make that argument right now. And, you know, people view that different ways. Like, there are some people that think you need to be top five at your position over an extended period of time. There are some people that put way more stock into longevity. Like, there's a ton of different ways you can look at it. Like, Frank Gore, to me, how long was he a top five running back in the league? Probably not very long, but the numbers are there because he was able to do it at such a high level for so long.
Yeah, I mean, he's a case of just extraordinary durability.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, to play that position for that long, it really is like probably as impressive as anything. So that's just he's a unique case. And Terrell Davis is a unique case in the other way.
Yeah.
Super short career, but he was dominant for two champions. Just but look, the ring is so because we all remember the Super Bowls and we I mean Chris Collinsworth was probably overstating things last night, okay? When he said it's like one of the greatest drives in Super Bowl history, all that stuff. A little bit of in the moment hyperbole, and who knows how he was feeling at the time anyway, because his Bengals had a real chance to finally win one, and they didn't. But it is going to be remembered, and it is going to be mentioned. And whenever his name comes up, we're going to talk about that and think about that. And there just aren't that many players in the history of the league who have a moment like that. And now you have the ring. It changes everything to me.
I'm just glad the halftime show lived up to the hype for you. I don't know if it was quite there, but I was fearing tremendous disappointment on your side of things, and I feel like you came away pretty happy.
I was very happy. I was very happy with it. I was super nervous. I was, because I agreed with you. I was like, this could just be bad, and it wasn't. Because what has happened in some earlier Super Bowl shows is they get all these artists, Steven Tyler, Britney Spears, and they just put them on the stage, and then they all sing like some dumb like Creedence Clearwater Revival song or something.
Let's not be going against CCR. Like,
well,
I
love CCR. I love CCR, but I'm just saying, like, why would they sing CCR?
You know? I'm glad they didn't do the big mashup last night for the most part.
Like they said, here's you, and they had a little surprise with 50 Cent. Great. Yeah, you're right. He probably wasn't necessary.
A lot of jokes about 50 Cent last night too. So he looks more like a full dollar bill now.
Yeah.
Shout out to 50.
He looks old. But just Snoop and Dre, I still would love just them as a halftime show. Maybe get into some deep cuts. Deep cuts, you know. Didn't happen.
Didn't figure it would.
There's some other great tunes I wish they played, but it was great.
Mary J. Blige falling flat on her back as soon as she did, I was like, well, that'll be a meme. It's everywhere today.
And she was awesome, too. Like, that part was really good. You know, I think maybe the most – I mean, I thought Kendrick Lamar's part was really good, but it's all – again, like, he's good enough to me to have his own show some year, but maybe that can happen. I was happy with it. Gen X wins the day. All you Gen Zers or whatever who want to complain about
Boomer.
It. Yeah. Yeah, it's easy. But I've got this number three. I got U2, Prince, probably Prince 1, U2 2, and this number three.
I probably put Whitney Houston in there.
Wait, now Whitney Houston, did she do halftime?
I think so.
She did probably the best anthem.
I think she did halftime. Okay. Let me double check.
I don't remember that. Not that she didn't. A lot of people bring up Michael Jackson in 93.
See, I think this was my favorite one ever.
Yeah?
I'm thinking of the national anthem. I'm an idiot. Leave me alone.
That was also, we were, you know, it was Operation Desert Storm. Yeah. That was the Bills Giants, I believe. That was... Scott Norwood, wide left. Elijah is in the studio nodding. Thank you.
Shout out to Whitney. Good stuff.
Yes. Yep. Rest in peace. Yep. That was an incredible anthem.
Yeah, it was. I got to say, most of the time, the halftime shows, I think, are total waste of time. I enjoyed that one last night.
I think they've been on a pretty good run, and usually it's when they...
I didn't think the weekend was very good.
I agree. He was not very good, but, like, the Rolling Stones, great. They were great. The Who, take a great band, even if they're a little bit long in the tooth, and let them do their thing. And just, usually just it's gonna be good compared to the how many different stars can we pack on stage, and then one of them, you know, rips the shirt off the other one. And by the way, we just watched the Janet Jackson documentary. It's so unfair. Like, she got, like, blacklisted from the Grammys and stuff for that, and he was there.
He did it.
He's the one who pulled the thing off. What the heck? I mean, seriously.
I don't know. Anyway. But speaking of halftime shows, like, JT did the halftime show a few years ago. I thought that wasn't very good, and I'm a big JT guy.
I liked that.
He's all right.
Well, he did a Prince tribute, right? I thought that was good. It just wasn't as good as Prince.
Yeah.
By the way, competitive cheer is a sport. Before we have to go.
Thank you, Joe.
Every day is a day.
This is true. But I'm glad I didn't get much pushback from that on the text line. I'm actually proud of you all.
We learned about that today. We learned about every day being a day. And I said that third down comes before fourth down. This has been a very educational day of Robbie and Rex Road here on the program.
Indeed. Two mutes.
Two mutes. Maybe you'll be well rested coming back in tomorrow. Be a new day.
It'll be a new day as a day.
Yeah.
It's going to be about to be a coma this day for me.
Oh, man. Glad we got a good Super Bowl game. I was scared when Stafford threw the first two. I was like, this could get rough. And then the Bengals found their way back. They're good. Quentin Spain led the charge back for the Bengals. Can't wait for the rematch next year between him and Jeffrey Simmons. It's going to be awesome.
Hopefully
he's on a team.
I really hope somehow, like, John Robinson believes that he's an answer in the interior of the offensive line so that he and Jeff Simmons can be teammates. Let's make it happen.
Fighting each other all training camp long. Be awesome. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.